Bruchim are going to another week of Parsha Insights, Parshas Vayera, as we continue in Sefer Bereishis. We should be zoiche to continue learning it, to finish it. Chazak chazak v'nis chazek, mamish gesundheit. As I ask the Olam all the time, please, not only to enjoy the Divrei Torah this evening, but please hear the words coming out of my mouth. Say them on Shabbos Kodesh. Say it at your Suda. Tell it over to family members, to friends, the people who you're speaking to on Shabbos, to bring about added Kedusha Shabbos. This shir is said to Zecha Nishmas Ula Ili Nishmas, Rebecca Bas Serina and Leon Ben Rachel. May their Neshama Tahiris have a lichtige, lichtige Gan Eden. It is a real treat, a real zechus, b'chol muvin d'mili, to be able to have the shir each and every week, Parsha Insights, Parshas Vayera. Now, the interesting thing about Parshas Vayera, you know, often we say we could speak about a Parsha weeks on end, or we're not going to go beyond the first few words of the Parsha. It's certainly true about many Parshiyos, but top on that list would have to be Parshas Vayera. You could literally go every few psuk in every aliyah and give multiple shiurim on each and every subject. Why do I say that? Almost by way of apologizing. Because I don't know if we're even going to get beyond the very first few psukim and the first story. I would like to. There are things I want to share with you regarding the very end about Akedas Yitzchak. But I don't know that we'll be able to, because there's so much to say in the very beginning of the parasha. We find that Avraham Avinu is recuperating from Bris Mila, and it's extremely hot, and he is sitting at the entrance of his tent, Kechoyim Hayoyim. By the way, it's interesting, we mentioned this a few years ago. I'll quickly repeat this, just because I think it's such a powerful pshat, and in a very direct way, it will tie into something we're going to say in about 20 minutes. Grammatically, it's interesting to say that when he was sitting there, it was Kichoim Hayoim, it should say he was sitting B'choim Hayoim, in the intense heat of the day, not Kichoim like. Well, Be'ezus Hashem answered that in a few minutes, and the Pasuk says, of course, that he looked up and he saw three people. He, at the time, didn't know it, but they were Malachim, they were angels that were sent, we'll see a bit later on, from a family of Pshat you shared with me. And as you can see from the immense highlighting, you just have to look here to see the highlighting, definitely a pshat that was very, very well received. And he went on to serve those three orchim, as we understand from Rashi, a tongue and mustard sandwich. And we learned so very much from this quintessential paradigm act of Hachnosos Orchim. So much so, by the way, Rashi points out in the third pasuk that, and that was really what we did last year in TMT that you sent me today and that we wrote up today, the Gemara Shabbos, Kuchav Zayin, we learn that receiving Orchim is even greater than Kabbalas Pnei Hashchina. And you obviously have to understand that on a very deep, profound level. That means Avraham Avinu was within a conversation with the divine presence, with Hashem himself. And as Rashi says, he turned to the Shechina and said to Hashem, please wait, I'm going to go ahead and fulfill the mitzvah of Hachnasas Orchim. I'll leave you with a question, not an answer, because this way I'll know if you either listened to last year's TMT, and if you didn't, don't worry, you could still do tshuva, yesh kapara. You can go ahead and read the Zohar Torah in this week's News and Shmooze. The great Reb Meir Mipremishlan asks, we know that Hachnosas Orchim is greater than Kabbalas Pnei Hashchina from this story, because he, so to speak, put Hashem on hold and said, I'll be back, I have to take care of three guests. But how did he know it? We know it from him. How did he know it? How did Avraham Avinu know that the correct and right thing to do was to leave Hashem and to run to the Orchim? Where'd he know it from? Well, not going to answer that question. You can either discuss it yourselves, or, oh, here's a novel idea. pick up this week's news and shmooze and see what Rabbeinu Premishlan says. Now, at that point, people are listening are going to say, well, if you're in the hateful, that's possible. But for those of us who are listening, or for those who will hear the recording once it's sent out, where should I see it from? Well, I'm sure there are many ways to get the copy of the news and shmooze and enjoy the Dvar Torah and see the answer there. It's an incredibly, incredibly powerful and profound answer. If you take a look, the Pasuk says, Rashi says, when it says that he was sitting, Pesach HaOhel, at the entrance of the tent, Rashi says, L'roisim yesh oiver vashov. Oiver vashov is an expression like any passersby, you know, anybody coming and going, oiver vashov, you get it? We share the same last name, you get it? Oiver vashov, anybody passing by, coming and going, any passersby, v'yachnisim beveso, so he would welcome them into his home. That's what he was doing there. So a few years ago, we shared a beautiful pshat, which we'll quickly repeat. Maybe Rashi could be understood in a different frame as well. And this will, as I said earlier, have a direct impact on something we want to say about Chassid Sakhar a bit later in the shir. Oiver v'shov literally means passers-by, but it also means something else. If someone commits an aveira, use an expression, he was oiver an aveira. He was outside his tent because he cared so much about people. Liris im yesh oiver. Was there anyone who was oiver an aveira, who needed to do tshuva, who felt removed from Hashem, and he was oiver and therefore feels distance? You know what Avram would cause him to do? The shuv, to return, to do tshuva, to get closer. And how did he accomplish that? V'yachnisem b'vesei, by welcoming them into his home and his heart. And I think that is a fabulous and powerful way to understand Rashi, just to understand our relationship with people. There are people that may not be as fortunate as we are. And what do? You turn a blind eye, you look away. Well, it's not my problem, it's yours. Listen, Rabbi, you say, here's our obligation. L'rois im yesh oiver. Is there someone who needs help? He was oiver in aveira. He's feeling very distant. And there's something you could do about it? Key being that there's something you feel you could do about it? V'shav. Help them return. Help them do tshuva. Keep lines of communication open. You know what Avram did? V'yachnisem v'vesoi. He welcomed them not just into his house and his tent, but more importantly, his home and his heart. And with that, we can answer what we said a few minutes ago. Why does it say that he was sitting kichoim hayoim? More accurately, it should say bichoim hayoim, in the heat of the day. No, it means to teach us that the chesed of Avram was kichoim hayoim, like the sun. You know, when the sun, Rabbi Isai, wants to give off its beautiful warmth and rays that can keep you warm in places that might be frigid cold, the sun doesn't differentiate and say, well, you're wealthy, I'll give you my rays, but you're a pauper, I'm not. The sun doesn't discriminate. The sun, the Shemesh, shows its illumination, its brilliance, and its warmth for one and all equally. Avram's chesed was kichoim hayoim, like the sun, just like the sun was there for everyone. So too the chesed of Avram was for one and all. And by the way, that's obviously seen from the fact that his tent was open from all four sides to teach us whether the person is approaching not just from the north and the south and the east and the west, but whether they're coming from this direction or another direction, in other words, meaning they're the person who may have been religious their entire life, or maybe somebody who just became religious, a person who's a tremendous tzaddik, or somebody who's having difficulty. In fact, in the Haggadah, we speak about the Dalet Banim, the Chacham, the Rasha, the Tam, and the Sheino Yodei Lishon. Maybe his tent was open from all four sides, v'yachnisem beveso, to allow all of the Dalet Banim, albeit from different directions, because chanoich lenar al pi darkoi, you have to go and educate and relate to each one differently, but a tent open from four sides is a manifestation of the achrisim beveisai, welcoming each and every one of the dalabonim, as we said, albeit in a different path, into my home and heart. That means your chesed is kichoim hayoim, as warm and as brilliant as the sun. But let's ask a couple of other questions. And again, I'm deeply grateful to you for bringing these to my attention. And actually, when I saw the first question and going through the beginning of the parasha, I on my own have this question. We always understand that Avraham, now we have to say it with the hey, because at the end of Lech Lecha, the hey was added, Avhamayim Goyim. So for a couple of weeks, we were accustomed to saying Avram. Now we have to reaccustom ourselves to saying Avraham. We always understood that he was in a conversation with Hashem, and that conversation or that dialogue was interrupted for him to go ahead and go to the Archim. But nowhere do you find any dialogue at all. Nowhere do you find, you know what it reminded me of? It almost reminds me of the pasuk in Parashas Bereishis, Vayomer Kayin El Hevel, he got up and he killed him. And the Mefarshim asks, it doesn't say what he said to his brother. That's a very well-known question. The Vilna Gaon has a pshat on it. Some say that the only thing he said to his brother was, Ochiv, my brother. So once he got him with the word, my brother, and Hevel was listening, then he was able to bring him close and kill him. But the same question was asked over there. It says, Kayin spoke to Hevel. What did they say? What was the dialogue? It's not listed anywhere. So too over here, it says Hashem appeared to him. Seemingly they were in a conversation and a dialogue, but it doesn't say anywhere what the dialogue, or there's no indication at all of what was said. It's not like when he comes back from the Archim, the conversation resumes. So one has to understand, was there a conversation? It was the middle of a dialogue or not? There are other questions to be asked, but let's in order first answer that one. I mentioned to you earlier that the Gemara in Shabbos Kuf Chav Zayin tells us that what do we learn from the fact that Avraham, so to speak, interrupted his conversation, quote unquote, to do Achnasas Archim, that greater is Achnasas Archim Mikabalas Pnei Hashchina. By the way, I'll already mention the following, and keep it in mind because it will become very relevant for about 10 minutes from now. How is it that Achnasas Archim is greater than receiving the Shechina? Rabbi Yisai, hello? This is the divine presence. This is the Shechina. How in the world could one understand that Achnasas Archim is greater than the Shechina being with you at the time? So I remember once hearing a beautiful pshat, because the Gemara says, by Achnasas Archim, you're giving. By the Shechina, it was Kabbalas Pnei HaShechina. You were receiving. And any time one has an opportunity to be a giver, as opposed to being a receiver, even though what they're receiving is the Shechina, Aber Lamais, as we say, Besser is to be a geber, to be somebody who could go ahead and give and give, and we'll see why this is so relevant in a few moments. But some want to say that's why Achnasas Archim is greater than the Shechina, because Achnasas Archim is to give. And Kabbalas Pnei HaShechina is to receive, albeit it's the divine presence, but it's still a Kabbalah. And if you could be a giver, and we'll see more about that in a few moments, that's what makes it greater than Kabbalas Pnei HaShechina. Rashi tells us that what was the point of Hashem's being there? Why did Hashem come? And maybe that's what it means that was a dialogue. Rashi brings down, citing Chazal, it was for the purpose of Bikur Cholim. And while the Shir is not about Bikur Cholim, I do find, if you take a look at Rashi, this has to be mentioned. Chazal say, you're right, there was no dialogue. There was no conversation. You know why? Because the point of the visit was purely for the purpose of Bikur Cholim. And sometimes on your Mavaka Rechayla, nothing needs to be said. Just your presence. You took time to visit me? I'm somebody that you went and you would Valgerzich, especially in a difficult to come to the hospital? And Bikur Cholim, I believe, is a tremendous art. We've spoken about it before. To know what to say, certainly to know what not to say, to know how long to stay, and to know how quickly you should leave, like you could figure out. It's a good time, it's not a good time. Let's say the person is sleeping, but you could go ahead and leave them a note that took you how long, but a moment? So from here, we certainly learn so much about the importance of Bikur Cholim, and that could be an answer to the question, what was the conversation? Nothing was said. You're right, because this was for the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim, by Yehra Elav Hashem, to do Bikur Cholim. And when it comes to Bikur Cholim, sometimes nothing needs to be said. Your mere presence that you thought about me, or that I was sleeping and you wrote the person a note, or you knew exactly what not to say, what to say, when to come, when not to come, it's certainly an art. But you can learn a tremendous amount from the Bikur Cholim, not the least of which is, sometimes you don't have to say anything. We say over, maybe you could remind me, even though the recording is live, who do we say over the Maisa with in our elucidated Kinnis with the Nichum Aveilim? I think it's Reb Shmuel Salant. I think so. There's a halacha that if a person does Nichum Aveilim, you see, that's the benefit of having you. You know all the Torah. I could quickly do a reference. Now everybody listening is going to be wondering, who is he talking to? Come to the Heichal and you'll find out. Especially in the winter when we're about 85 and sunny. There's someone, Sam Schechter, Zechreina Levracha, who used to have the Caribbean Hotel. Listen, we remember Miami 50 years ago. He used to say in January, today in New York, it's 80 degrees, 40 in the morning and 40 in the evening. So if you're listening to the recording or when it's sent out and you want to come in January when it's genuinely 80 degrees, then you could find out what really takes place in the Heichal. I think it was Reb Shmuel Salant. They went to do Nichum Aveilim, and the halacha is that a person waits till the Ovel begins the conversation, and then you respond, then you start talking. But he, apparently, after being there but for a few moments, again, I think it was with Reb Shmuel Salant, we say this often in our elucidated Kinnis on Tisha B'Av, he seemingly started the conversation. So when they left, the Talmud respectfully and gently said, I'm not questioning Rebbe. Obviously, if you did, it was correct, but don't we know that the Ovel is supposed to start the conversation? The Ovel didn't speak at all. And as soon as he said that, he said, you didn't hear the Ovel? The Ovel let out such a sigh and such a krechs and such a moment of angst. You didn't hear him say that? To some people, a krechs and a sigh and a broken heart speaks volumes. And that was enough talking for Reb Shmuel Salant to then continue the conversation. And we say the same thing when it comes to Bikur Cholim. Sometimes you visit a person and you could see they may not say a word, you may not say a word, but they're so moved by the gesture of what you did. You give them such validation and chizuk from your visit. And that could be a certain explanation why it says, although it doesn't seem like there was any conversation, it's to remind us, sometimes with Bikur Cholim, nothing needs to be said at all. But Lemaisa, when he visited him, or was there, I should say, there were no other visitors. As Chazal teach us why, Avram had people coming and going all the time. But here, as Chazal teach us, Maitzi Chama Min Artika, which means Hashem took out the sun. He made it an extremely and exceedingly hot day, and this way there wouldn't be anyone, so to speak, to bother Avraham as he was recuperating from that procedure of Bris Milah. But then the Ribbono Shel Olam saw that Avraham Avinu was so distressed, he didn't have the opportunity to be Mekayim the mitzvah of Hakosas Arachim. So what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? He, so to speak, manufactured and created three guests. And those guests were, of course, Malachim, angels. Now, I think that the story I just told you the last 60 seconds, we all grew up with, and it seems to be pretty straightforward. I must say, when I saw this kasha in Limudei Nisan from Nissen Alpert, and every once in a while we say a pshat from Nissen Alpert, each and every one is mamish golden, mamish, mamish, mamish golden. When I read the kasha, I was thinking to myself, Rabbi Sai, how every year do we say what we just said and not have this kasha? It seems like such an obvious kasha. Every year we go through the same, you know, the kasha. What do we just say? He didn't want Avraham Avinu to be bothered, so to speak, by having guests. So Hoytzi Chama Min Artika, and therefore it was an extremely hot day. Nobody was there to bother him. But when he saw how distressed and pained Avraham Avinu was, even more than the physical pain, and not having Archim, Hashem created a way around the situation. He manufactured the guests in the form of Malachim, in the form of angels, so that he would be able to perform Hachnasas Archim. Abaisai, now that I built it up as an obvious kasha, if I gave you about 5 seconds, what do you think Reb Nissen Alpert asks? If the Ribbono Shel Olam was looking for a way to go ahead and to not have Avraham Avinu feel so pain, we just said a moment ago that there were visitors that came and went. The tent was open from four sides. People came and went. He was machnas and he was home and his heart. So what did Ribbono Shel Olam do? So that wouldn't happen, he took out the sun and made it intensely hot, and therefore nobody came. So why not do what seems to be more obvious? Put the sun back in its case. Let it be a beautiful 73 California afternoon. And then the orphan would be there coming and going and coming and going and coming and going. Why keep the sun out intensely hot? Create and manufacture 3 Arkham to be there, might not do what seems to be more obvious. The sun was taken out from its case to make it intensely hot. That stopped the visitors. So put the sun back in its case so the visitors resolve them. That's a kasha. The Maral speaks out that had the Ribbono Shel Olam just allowed the sun to return to normal and be a beautiful 73 afternoon, degrees, then it would have brought a return of many, many guests, kind of like I said, South Florida in January, which is a wonderful, wonderful thing, make no mistake at all. But it would have brought back a tremendous influx of guests, of Archim. And the Ribbono Shel Olam wanted to spare Avram the burden of having to attend to too many guests, 30 at my Shabbos table, 42 coming for a Wednesday night supper. It could have been very overwhelming while he was in the pain that he was. So therefore, these 3 malachim, these 3 guests, as you wrote, were very measured and very precise. It was the right number to allow Avram to fulfill the mitzvah, but not to overwhelm him. A myridic answer. But Reb Nissen Alpert himself gives a different answer. He stresses not as much the number, in other words, because if the sun would have been returned to normal, there could have been a tremendous influx of Archim that may have overwhelmed him in the pain that he was in. So therefore, it was this precise measured number that was beautiful for Avraham Avinu. But he suggests that the stress is why the manufactured guests were deliberately Archim. Why were they specifically angels? Meirayver Abaisa, this brings us to the final part of the shir, and this will tie a few of the things together that we said in the opening. What is it about Hachnasas Archim and Chesed to Malachim, to angels, that's so unique that couldn't have been accomplished by Hachnasas Archim or Chesed to paupers, people in need, whatever it is? Why specifically angels? So he says so beautifully, this moment of chesed, as I told you when the shir started, became the paradigm of chesed for generations. You see somebody doing chesed, oi, chesed azevi Avraham Avinu. You see somebody, oi, mom, what did Avraham Avinu do? Everything he did, he ran, he did everything. In fact, Chazal tells, whatever he did himself, we benefit directly from. Whatever he did, Al Yedei Ashliach, was for us done Al Yedei Ashliach. So this opening act of chesed of Avraham Avinu became the paradigm, the quintessential example of chesed and achlasos orchim l'dayreis. This is what we were going to learn from the Meila. That's why he says the achlasos orchim had to be directed specifically to angels. What a deher, he explains. Very often when a person does chesed, they're giving something to the person. You needed food, you needed water, you needed clothing. So the person to whom you're giving, the recipient, is mahash benefiting. Wow, thank you. Angels? They don't need anything. Angels don't need anything. Angels don't need clothing. Angels don't need food. Angels don't need water. Angels don't need anything at all. My welcome are not lacking anything. The Ribbono Shel Olam precisely sent Malachim angels to teach us at this very opening act of Chesed L'dayrei Dayres for eternity. This is what Chesed and giving is all about. This is Achrosas Archem, as Chazal tell us, way more than the person gave to the other. They themselves are the benefit of, they themselves receive. Certainly on the level that it makes a person a more kind and compassionate person. Granted, if you're listening, all right, I'll say it, in the Hechel or live, or we'll hear it when it's sent out, you may have the Shaila, as I did, that at the time of Rav Avinu did it, he didn't know that they were angels. I asked that to Rav Avram. He said that he felt we were asking a good kasha. I don't have an amazing answer, but it could simply be that it's true that he didn't know. But the point of Rav Nissen Alpert is that we have to know, why was it angels? Why was it Malachim? Because of the difference of doing Achrasos Archem and Chesed to someone like an angel. They don't need anything at all. That means when you do Chesed, the ultimate benefit of that Chesed is not what you gave to others. It's what it does for you, the giver. It brings you incredible spiritual benefit. It paves your path to Olam Haba. It makes you a kinder and more compassionate person, which will, be'ezus Hashem, turn a person into a better husband and a better father and a better son and a better friend and a better yid. It's not about what the recipient got. It's about what you, the giver, received by your giving. And Mamela, he says, that's why we wanted it to specifically be this opening act, was through angels. And that answers the question we asked, why not just take the sun, remove it back to it? No. We're not looking for an influx of just any visitors. We're looking specifically to manufacture angels so the chesed could be literally angelic-esque in nature. Meaning what it does for the giver. You know, it's a well-known word that the ahava is to love, and the root, ahava, spelled al-hei-vez-hei, and the two middle letters, the central two letters of ahava is hei and vez, which is hav, to give. Because when a person hav gives, that's a way not only that they're expressing, it's true, their love and appreciation for the other person, but it's also bringing out an ahava and a benefit to themselves. It makes them a more loving person. It makes them a person that's more, oh, as we said, elul, ohov lemala v'nechmod lemata. And so you can also explain the Rambam. There's a Rambam that brings down in Hilchei Tzedakah that my father's Atzal brings us down and say for Imre Mordechai that giving tzedakah is lefi goydel hamaisa, or is it lefi how much the person gives? In other words, if a person has an opportunity to give, I'll give by example with numbers, $100 to one person, or they can give $25 to four people. Obviously, they can give 100 to four, do that, but if they have only the 100, better to give 25 to four people than 100 to one. Why? The Rambam explains, Hakol lefi roiv hamasa, not goydel hamaisa, because when you do something again and again and again, it makes you a giver. It makes you into somebody who's giving. Now, you could ask a kasha, and this will be a beautiful riot, or Nissen Alpert. If the point of giving is for the recipient to go ahead and benefit, so then why am I looking at the giver? The person would much rather receive $100 than receive $25. Granted, it means three others won't get. But that one person who is getting, if he had a choice between $25 or $100, of course he would rather $100. Yet the Rambam says, "Akol lefi roiv hamaseh," that is better to give four people $25 because it trains you have. It trains you to do chesed and to give. But you see a riot to what we said from Remnitz and Alpert, because if the entire point would be for what it does for the recipient or rather the larger check, Geigel HaMaisa, not Reiv HaMaisa. But the point of Chesed, HaKol Lefi Reiv HaMaisa, is for you, the giver, to train you into giving and giving. And that's, by the way, what we meant when we said earlier, the Gemara in Shabbos, why? Is receiving. That's what it does for the recipient. But Achrasas Archim is giving. And when you give, it trains you into being a giver again and again. As I said, it brings spiritual reward. It makes you a kinder and compassionate person, which will manifest itself in every relationship. As a person, as a spouse, as a child, as a parent, as a relative, as somebody who's just, oh, I know, as somebody who's looking, the race, in yesh oiver v'shav, v'yachnis and v'veisay. Isn't that the way we started this year? Because when a person gives, they are really the recipient. It's not about what it accomplishes for the recipient, it's about what it accomplishes for the giver. And there's no better way to learn that than if the recipients are angels. Angels don't need anything. And so this very opening act of chesed, no, you couldn't just put the sun back in the case, then every one of the archim who needed would come. You needed that the angels, the malachim, should be manufactured to teach us what real chesed is about, what achnosos archim is about, what the idea of being a hav, being a giver, is about. It's to make the giver the recipient. For way, way more than what you give, you've received exponentially countless times over. And that was the first act. It was for us, for Dairei Dairis, for generations to remember. I give us all a bracha. We should be zeicha to be able to help people and to be on the giving side. We should be zeicha to be someone who can perform, now that was chesed and achnasas orchim, like Avram Avinu. We should all be zeicha, please, Rabbi Yisai, because it is chesed that will be zeicha to bring an end to the geula, to bring about the geula, I should say. As we know, it says, Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. And yet we know, Becha Choisnin, we only end by saying, Magen Avraham. Many of the Mefarshim say, Becha Choisnin means something else. The Mid of Avram, primarily Chesed. The Mid of Yitzchak, primarily Avoida. The Mid of Yaakov, primarily Torah. Of course, all three are so critically, critically important at the end of Golos in Ikbis HaDimashicha. But which one's going to mamish bring the Gula? Becha, Chaisman. Becha, with that Midah of yours, Avram. Which Midah? The Midah of Chesed HaRachnosos Archim. And might we add, not just the Midah of Chesed HaRachnosos Archim where the recipient is clearly getting, but the meat of the Chah Chesed across the Zarchim that started it all off, where it trains the giver to keep giving, even if the person doesn't need, place them. That will bring about the Chasima, the Ezra Hashem, to this funereal Golos, and bring about the Geula Shalema, Bimheira, the Yameinu, Amen.
Amen.